Hi, and welcome to Mass Murder, a true crime self-care podcast. We're your hostesses, Avery
and Nicole, and we're here to tell you about two things, masks and murder. First, we'll dive into a true crime story, and then we'll follow it up with a little feel-good self-care sesh where we try out a new face mask and tell you a little bit about it.
Before we dive into the story, we want to remind you that we are not experts, so please don't take our comments as hard facts. We did our best to research everything and added a little flair from, you know, yours truly, that stems from our true crime obsessions.
And me?
Well, I meant like us truly, but like I couldn't. Okay, fine.
Just leave that in. It's fine.
I meant us. I didn't know how to say it. Okay. Reminder, this is a two-parter. So if you haven't already listened to last week's episode, go back and listen now. Or be completely lost. I guess it's up to you.
Yeah, so we'll start with just a quick recap of last week's episode to make sure we all remember the important little tidbits. Two men, Gudmundur and Geirfinnur, went missing in 1974 outside of Reykjavik, the capital of Iceland. Six people confessed to the crimes despite having no memory of committing them and there being no physical evidence against them and no bodies being found. Detectives thought that it was an open and cut. Yep. Detectives thought that it was an open and shut case. That is, until a former detective, Jasili Gudjonsson, left the police department and went into training to become a forensic psychologist. As a part of his research, on New Year's Eve of 1976, Jasili conducted a lie detector test on Gudjon, you know, one of the suspects or confessors, when Supercop Schutz found out he was pissed, so much so that he wrote to the Minister of Justice. He demanded that Jasili disclose all of the material from the lie detector test, despite it being a confidential test. And thanks to the Minister of Justice, Jasili had to disclose it. After the lie detector test, Gudjon started to question whether or not he had actually been involved in the atrocious acts that he had confessed to. As a matter of fact, several of the suspects began to try to retract their confessions. They claimed they had been pressured into signing statements that they knew weren't true.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Unfortunately, investigators, as well as the courts, dismissed these claims. Sometimes it was because the retraction attempts came too late. Sometimes, like in Saivar's case, it was because the head investigator told the court, "I know better." Like, what the actual fuck?
Yeah, if only that's how it worked in real life, I guess.
I mean, this is real life, so apparently it did work.
Well, it shouldn't have.
Agreed.
It shouldn't have.
Agreed. Then, in December of 1977, 2 years after the first arrests, the court delivered the verdict. The state prosecutor spoke for 15 and a half hours. Woof.
I know. Good Lord. I really hope they took breaks.
Who even has that much to say?
I need 3 meals in that time frame. At least. I couldn't be in court talking.
3 meals and like 15 snacks.
First breakfast, second breakfast.
I had first and second lunch last week.
Hey, there is nothing wrong with that. I had first and second lunch last week.
I like it. I wonder if it was on the same day.
Oh, I don't know.
Let's pretend it was.
Yeah. I don't remember what day it was, but some of the middays. It wasn't Monday, it wasn't Friday.
So it was either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Right. It was one of those days.
Yeah, they all blend together. Yeah. It's fine.
Time means nothing anymore.
What is a Wednesday? What's Wednesday? Back to our story. We need to stop sidebar. No, we don't. It's fun. So in the case of Gudmundur, Saivar, Christian, and Tryggvi were convicted of killing Gudmundur, and Albert was convicted for helping to hide the body. When they ruled on Geirfinnur's case, Saivar, Christian, and Gudjon were all convicted for the killing. It was reported that Christian was the man who made the mysterious phone call to Geirfinnur. Erla was convicted of the embezzlement that her and Saivar committed, and for perjury after implicating her half-brother and several others in the disappearances. Saivar received the harshest sentence, life for both murders, and the other suspects were given varying sentences, which ranged from 1 year for Albert, you know, the sidekick of the group that confessed to transporting Goodmunder's body, to 3 years for Erla, 12 years for Gudjon, and 16 years for Christian.
Of all the suspects, Triggy spent the most time in solitary confinement. To jog your memory, he was that second person that Saevar named and was the big physical guy that you wanted to avoid when drinking was involved. Anyway, he was in solitary confinement for 655 days, which is, in case you didn't know, almost 3 years. And the longest solitary confinement outside of Guantanamo Bay.
What the fuck?
I know, it's insane, right? Like, he obviously would never be a normal person again. While in solitary confinement, Triggy kept detailed diaries to help him hold on to reality and remind himself that he was innocent. Others had tried to keep diaries too, but they were confiscated. Confiscated. But they were confiscated. Luckily, Triggy had made an ally while he was in prison, a priest who agreed to smuggle the diaries out of the prison and just hold on to them. The priest returned the diaries after Triggy completed his 8-year sentence. Triggy kept his diaries in a box in his basement, and years later were discovered by his teenage daughter, Kristen. Sorry. I'm trying not to laugh at myself. She would sneak them out of the basement and up to her room and hide them under her mattress, you know, 2 or 3 at a time. One of them said, quote, "This is a diary that an innocent man is keeping here regarding a big case that he is wrongly accused for, but the truth will always come out even if it's too late," on the cover. Very long title. But truth. The diaries recorded his daily routine and his frustrations about being incarcerated. Aside from that, they detailed the drugs that he was routinely given, almost daily. He was given diazepam, which is a sedative, and Mogan, a sleeping pill. I think that's what it says. Mogan. Looks like it.
Yeah, Mogan.
Mogan. Oh, yeah, that's actually probably it. Anyways, they were given...
So is the D silent? Is that Mogadon?
No. Oh, well, when I looked up how you said it, that's what it sounded like. So I remember typing what I heard.
Okay.
Yeah, to make it phonetic.
I'll take your word on it.
Guys, there's just too many things to try to say in this story.
We're bad at words.
I am so bad at
so
words.
So we started a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, practice makes perfect, right? Can exactly. Only be better.
You can only go up from here.
I really can't. These pills were given to him to kind of like keep him calm and help him sleep, but they're also known to cause amnesia. Sometimes Triggy would try to resist the drugs, and other times he would just take them reluctantly, thinking it was easier to be numb, which I understand wanting to be numb in that situation. He knows he's innocent. He's confessed, only just to make all of the like horrific things that are happening to him stop. So he can possibly get out of isolation and see his family and friends, perhaps tell the courts what really happened. But even though this is absolutely bananas, like, none of this is remotely legal. So I'm glad he had a diary to point out exactly what was happening to him. Years later, Triggy destroyed the diaries in an attempt to forget the past, except for the 3 that remained hidden under his daughter, Kristen. I just want to say Christian every time, except for the 3 that remain hidden under Kristen's bed. She never told a soul, not even her mother. That is, until 2009, right before her father's death. She told him that she had found his diaries, and he didn't seem mad to hear about this, but the first thing he asked was if she had read them. His daughter confessed that she had. She then asked him what she should do with the 3 diaries, knowing that he had kind of gotten rid of all the others. He told her that she should keep them and she would know what to do when the time was right. Now, let's stick a pin in Triggy's story for a second and check in on another player.
Yes, let's talk about Saevar. Saevar served the longest sentence of all of the convicted. After he got out of jail, he eventually met a girl, they got married, and had a son. They tried moving to America, Colorado specifically, but Saevar just couldn't let things go. He moved the family back to Iceland, where he tried to clear his name. During interviews after his release, he always said he didn't know anything about the location of the bodies and that he didn't have anything to do with the cases. He submitted documents petitioning the court to acquit him and to reopen the case. The Supreme Court decided not to reopen the case. They said the documents showed that he was badly mistreated in prison, but did not warrant the case being reopened. Saevar appealed a total of 3 times, none of which were successful. Unfortunately, Saevar passed away in July of 2011 before the case would eventually be reopened. But Saevar's death would inspire journalist Helga Arnadottir. Arnadottir?
Yeah, Arnadottir. I'll go with it.
Okay.
I mean, just, no one can read it.
To speak to Tryggvi's family. So we're going to jump back to Tryggvi's story and remove that pin. Super quick. Kristin realized that this was the time that her father was alluding to when he told her that she would know what to do with the diaries. Kristin felt that she could trust Helga and decided to show her the diaries. She wanted her to see them as a piece of her father, not really thinking that anything would actually come of it. But Helga wanted to take them to a forensic expert to have them tested. Kristin refused to let the diaries out of her sight. And 2 days later, she found herself on Gisli Gudjonsson's doorstep. Before we get into what Gisli thought about the diaries, we're going to highlight a little bit more of what was going on with the prisoners while they were in custody. To recap, so far we have extreme isolation, lengthy interrogations, oftentimes with no attorney present, being forced to take drugs. What else could there be? Oh, that's right, torture. Prison officers were recruited to befriend the inmates as an effort to get more information. One of these officers was Hilnor Thor Magnusson, who has since retired. But he did report that Saevar was singled out as the ringleader and given special treatment. In one instance, quote, his head was put into a washing bucket of water and he was told if he didn't confess, he would be drowned. Of course he wasn't drowned, but this is and was torture, of course, end quote. I can't imagine having to live with knowing that you tortured an innocent man and that you were probably a big part of the reason he confessed.
Totally agree, but it also makes me wonder, like, what level, if any, mind control had occurred for those that were, like, actually in charge to commit those crimes against their, you know, fellow citizens. I'm sure they weren't bad people.
No, I'm sure they were just, like, most other cops that just want to help their fellow citizens and, like, make sure everyone's safe.
Right.
Protect and serve.
Right. So, like, something had to happen to all of them and, you know, probably, like, quote-unquote training.
Yeah. I don't know. But not only was there the physical torture that they had to endure, but there was mental torture as well. The inmates were deprived of everything, to which, you know, I have to interpret as, like, food and water, as well as what's been confirmed, sleep deprivation. Guards would bang on the walls outside of their cells to keep them awake at night.
Yeah, I mean, it really does kind of sound like someone read the book on mind control. Like, this is not police work.
No, it's not. All that being said, with what these people went through, I'm sure they would have confessed to anything. I know I would have.
Absolutely. But now let's get back to Tryggvi's diaries that Kristin found. Gisli locked himself in his conservatory and read through all of them, meticulously reviewing every word over the course of many hours. He emerged and had formed the view that there was a real possibility that there were miscarriages of justice and the case would need to be reviewed. You think?
You don't say.
Surprising. He took to national TV to express these thoughts, and just a week later, the Icelandic government announced a committee to look into the police investigation. With that inquiry, another diary came to light, that of Guðjón Skarphéðinsson. After his release in 1981, Guðjón became a Lutheran minister to a church 150 kilometers outside of Reykjavik. In his possession, Guðjón had kept an old diary from his imprisonment. He kept it, but he didn't like to read it because it reminded him of something he didn't want to remember or really ever think about. And again, who could blame him?
Seriously.
Yeah, makes sense to me. I would not use that as light bedtime reading.
I've never actually reread any of my diaries.
Me neither. I do have, I mean, I'm not a diary person. Like, I'm just not
I good go at keeping phases. Up with it.
Yeah. But actually, I have read a portion of one because I kept a diary of, like, my first trip to Europe.
Mm.
And I reread it to see, like, the things I wrote down. Actually, I highly recommend that because it helps you remember your trips better.
Yeah.
Not that I've done it since, but
we should have done that when we went to Iceland.
Yeah. Maybe Dang. One day.
With our next trip.
Next trip.
Disney.
Always pushing Disney.
It's the happiest place on earth.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll just travel somewhere far and wide without a lot of people around.
The Grand Canyon.
Could be.
Yosemite Park.
Also an option. You're just gonna list parks now.
You big are. Red
you
forest.
Want to? Yeah, like you totally forest. Want to. Okay.
Glacier National Park.
During an interview, I hate you so much.
I'm done.
During an interview for a BBC article at the age of 70, Goodjohn read a few of the entries. He read about the day he confessed. He says, reading his own words is scary in that it wasn't me. This is not me. He says it was some other guy that he wanted to keep track of what was going on to him, and he thought he would lose his mind otherwise. By December, he had confessed, but also wrote, quote, I can't remember anything and I'm losing my mind. The following January, he wrote that he was, quote, involved in some unbelievable web of lies, which is pretty damning if you ask me. This all is a bit of a mystery overall, though, to a lot of people. If you can't remember, why would you confess? Well, Jasili, the detective that turned leading forensic psychologist, thinks he knows why. False memory syndrome. It's a relatively new concept in terms of science. You know, it's been around for maybe 35, 40 years. And Jasili is actually one of the pioneers. He cites Goodjohn's diary as one of the clearest examples of its existence. He says that it shows you about memory distrust and how a highly intelligent and educated person can enter a situation knowing that they're innocent at the beginning of a situation and then gradually begin to think that they were wrong and that they were perhaps involved in a murder that they had no memory of. False memory syndrome is typically a condition in which a person's identity and interpersonal relationships center on a memory of a traumatic experience that is objectively false and that the person strongly believes occurred. The pseudo-memories are often brought about through therapeutic memory processes and methods known as recovered memory therapy. In terms of the Reykjavik confessions, Jasili says that the triggers are isolation, persuasive police interrogations, often where the suspects are confronted with false evidence, and high emotional intensity, usually when the police highlight the uselessness of the suspect's denial. It's a controversial concept, particularly among law enforcement, who see it as an easy way out for criminals. Which, yeah, and I can see that, but there's not actually an easy way out for these suspects. They might have done bad things, but they definitely didn't deserve to be tortured and isolated for all that time. I think it's absolutely insane that those things go together.
Right. But let's talk about another suspect. Albert Klon, the one that confessed to transporting Gudmundur's body. After 40 years, he still couldn't remember if he was guilty or innocent.
Just, wow.
I can't imagine. Jasili concluded that five of the suspects had evidence of memory distrust. And it wasn't just through interrogation that police planted the seeds of doubt in these suspects. There are, or at least were, pictures on display at the National Archives from the Gayfinner investigation that were taken in 1976. One picture in particular shows Christian Vedersen, which is one of the suspects, pretending to strangle a police officer who is playing the part of Gayfinner. And we'll put that up on our social. Now, mind you, that crime reconstructions are a very common practice, but getting a suspect to reenact a crime that they can't remember, that's not so common.
Yeah, I mean, like, what is it, a play? I don't feel like that's right to do it all. I mean, don't even get me started on the fact that the photos were displayed.
Yeah, that's just bananas to me. And it's also definitely not a common practice, like I said. And I'm pretty sure it's relatively frowned upon.
It's frowned upon.
Or frowned upon. Maybe, you know. And I feel like that just goes to show how desperate the investigators really were. It's these reenactments that really solidify the false memory syndrome theory. By having them go through the motions, these motions and acts are now part of their memory, even if it's not the actual memory of the murder. So let's talk a little bit more about how these false memories were created. We mentioned earlier that Jasili said one of the triggers is isolation, and while in the 1970s, solitary confinement was commonplace in Iceland.
Cool.
Good, right? Gudjohn spent 14 months, 1 year and 2 months in solitary confinement. Completely alone.
Ooh. Yeah, I can't spend like one day alone.
That's why I got a dog.
Yeah, I would be insane.
Yeah. Erla was in isolation for 105 days. Imagine being the mother of a young child, being taken away from them, and knowing that their father was also taken away from her and being desperate to get back to her.
Yeah. I mean, the lack of control around that. And also, yeah, like, you kind of made your kid an orphan. I mean, you're around, but you're not around.
Yeah. Also, don't forget she had postpartum depression. So.
Right. Just all the hormones just raging through your body and you're confused by everything.
Yeah. Now, take all of that plus her desperation and imagine this. During her time in isolation, Erla was interviewed over 100 times, some of which would go on throughout the day and well into the night. Now, guess how many of these interviews her lawyer was present for?
How many?
3.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
Bananas.
Wait, actually, so, I know you don't know this either, but, like, if she asked for a lawyer, do they have to give her a lawyer? Did she not know that you could ask for a lawyer? Like, I just have so many questions on how even the victim of this circumstance let that occur.
Yeah, I don't know. I also don't know what the laws are about investigations with lawyers and rights to lawyers in Iceland.
I always ask for a lawyer.
Probably should have looked that up before we went, just in case anything happened.
Why would we have looked that up? We should not ever go on a trip preparing for when we're arrested.
Yeah, like, no. It's just a good thing to have in your back pocket.
Literally never thought of that in advance of a trip, so. No, I'm extra suspicious of you.
Well, suspicious. You're the one hanging out with me.
It's true. Makes me suspicious.
Yep. Dun, dun, dun. So, like we said, all of the of all of the suspects, Tryggvi Leifsson spent the most time in solitary confinement, and it was the revelation of his diaries that would lead to the inquiry in 2011. The inquiry spent 18 months looking at all of the available evidence, and its report in 2013 produced a damning conclusion that the confessions were unreliable and therefore false.
Woot woot! 4 years later, on February 24th, 2017, the Interior Ministry's Rehearing Committee concluded that the cases of Saivar, Christian, Tryggvi, Albert, and Gudjon should be reheard by the Supreme Court of Iceland. It was not recommended that Erla's perjury case be retried, which, cold-blooded, not like she wasn't wrong, like, it should have been retried.
Agreed. Sorry, nobody could see me nodding my head at you. I just realized.
The following February, in 2018, the state prosecutor requested that the Supreme Court acquit Saivar, Christian, Tryggvi, Albert, Gudjon, and Erla. It wasn't until September 27th of that year that the acquittal took place, but it was only for the 5 men. Erla's conviction was not overturned, even though there had been obviously a gross injustice served against her as well.
What the heck, man?
I know. In 2018, it was announced that the case would be reopened due to new evidence, but we haven't been able to actually find specifics about the actual date for a possible retrial or if anything really concrete came from the new evidence. Looking into this evidence, though, there were 2 articles released, one in October 2018 and the other in October 2019, highlighting the new information. So here's a little summary of those updates. As of October 2019, Erla was still fighting to get her perjury conviction overturned. We weren't able to find any updates as to whether this endeavor had been successful. Hopping over to the new evidence that came forth in relation to Gudmundur, since he went missing first, in 2015, a man named Stefan Almerson was interrogated by police. He was believed to have lied to law enforcement that Christian and Saivar played a part in Gudmundur's disappearance. The interrogation took place because Stefan's ex-girlfriend had come forward saying she was a passenger in Stefan's car on January 27th, 1974, the night Gudmundur went missing. She said the car hit Gudmundur and that he was picked up and put into the car. With Gudmundur getting worse for the wear, she left the car. Another passenger of the car was interrogated, Ori Jorsen.
Good job!
Thank you. Phonetic spelling's the only way I can live. They agreed
that... in this case.
Yeah. They agreed that Gudmundur was, in fact, a passenger of the car, but that neither Stefan nor said passenger had played any part in his disappearance. According to the state prosecutor, the tip was fully investigated and the investigation was officially closed in 2016. She said that if new information is received in the future, it will be up to the Capital Area Police Chief and the state prosecutor to prosecutor.
I was just going to say.
And the state prosecutor to decide whether or not to reopen the investigation.
Now, as for the Gay Finner case, in 2016, a man went to police and said that he saw three men dressed in civilian clothing arriving on a small boat in Vestmannaeyjar. I just want to say Vestmannaeyjar.
It does look like that. It totally does.
Vestmannaeyjar. Vestmannaeyjar. Someone help us.
We all get it.
Yeah.
A place.
Yeah. So he saw these three men arriving on their small boat on November 20th, 1974. The day after Gay Finner had disappeared. He said one of the men appeared weak, on the verge of unconsciousness, and that he was being led by the other two. The three men went into a fish processing plant and stayed there for some time, apparently with the company chef's permission. The witness claimed that later, when the three men were heading back to the boat, the weak man said, "Remember me."
So creepy.
I tried to make it creepy. The witness said that a little while later, the boat returned to the shore, but this time only two men were there.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right, with a little bit more conviction.
Dun, dun, dun.
You went from like, meh, to like, over the top. Love
dun,
it.
Dun, dun, dun. Is that better? Right in the middle?
Right. Perfect. You're perfect. I lost my spot. Our witness, whose name we literally have no idea, said that he never saw the men again until about 20 years later when he saw one of them working on the electricity lines. The witness's ex-girlfriend was actually with him in Vestmannaeyjar. Vestmannaeyjar. At the time. Actually, that one was pretty good.
Yeah.
Police interviewed her, but she said she didn't see the three men. But 2 days after the alleged sighting, she did recall receiving a phone call. And in the phone call, she and her boyfriend were both threatened with execution, which they took pretty seriously.
Yeah, I would too.
Right? Well, because of the fear of the threat, they never came forward until 2016. And as of an article from October 1st, 2019, this tip and the case is still being investigated. So we don't know what is going to become of it. And it is actually still unknown what happened to Gudmundur and Gay Finner since their bodies have never been recovered.
Yeah, it's got to be really hard to find them from, I don't know, in such an extensive area that probably looks the exact same.
Everywhere, yeah. That and plus, you know, it's only been 46 years, so.
Yes, a casual amount of time.
Yeah, you know.
So recent. It's an interesting story. And
it is.
I gotta say, I mean, not that we're from Iceland, but I'm glad to not have been a part of that.
Right?
It's a little crazy.
It's super bananas.
All right. I think that's enough of that. Let's
wind down.
Wind down.
Wind
Let's
down.
Let's chat about our overnight mask.
All right. Do you want to go first?
No, I think you should go first. It was your first mask.
It was.
First overnight mask.
Yes. Well, yes. Good point. Yeah. First overnight. Now, I was actually kind of, at first I wasn't super excited about it,
mm-hmm.
because I was like, oh, it's gonna be all greasy and like get all over my pillows and in my hair and blah blah blah.
Well, you kept those opinions to yourself.
I didn't. I'm pretty sure I told you.
I don't think you told me those things.
I definitely said something about it getting on my pillow, and you're like, it's very thin, you'll be fine.
Blacked it out.
Like most of our conversations.
Okay, that's not true. You don't always tell me all these things.
All right. But I did tell you that I was worried about getting all over my bed and stuff. But either way, it didn't. When I went to put it on, I was actually kind of excited about it because it didn't feel really greasy. It was just like a nice, smooth, thin layer. And I don't know. And I threw my hair up in a little French braid so that my hair wasn't all gross in the morning. Yesterday was hair wash day, so I was like, not washing my hair again tomorrow. But no, and then I woke up this morning and my face just felt really moisturized and happy.
Hydrated.
Hydrated.
Well, that's good. That's the goal.
That is the goal. But yeah, no, so yeah. I definitely would give this at the minimum an A, maybe even an A+.
What?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I love a good overnight mask, but I definitely get the concern that you could, like, smear it or, like, rub it off in your sleep. You know, sometimes you just go willy-nilly and, like, scratch your face in the night.
In the night.
Or what have you. But I have tried some masks that are really sticky and have had my hair stick in them before.
Ugh.
Yeah. But this one doesn't do that, at least in my experience, because the mask dries pretty mm-hmm. quickly.
Yeah. I don't think mine dried right away. I also, like, fell asleep really quickly last night. It was amazing.
Well, I also put mine on before I, like, got in bed. So mine fully dried. That is actually one thing I have a little bit of a problem with. I mean, totally user error, but... like, I feel like I always put it a little thicker on, like, one half of my face than the other. Like, not on purpose, but you feel it when it's drying. Where, like, one side, last night, it was, like, the left side of my face was drier than the right, quicker. So I must have put it on a little thicker on one side.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I was going to say it's because you're a lefty, but...
I guess I'm not 100% sure which side it was. But one side dried faster than the other.
I don't feel like I had that problem. So, like you said, user error.
Yeah, it's totally fine. User error. But I like the mask, too, because it dries. It doesn't feel icky. It doesn't leave a film or a residue, per se. It definitely is a little sticky.
Yeah.
I mean, anything super hydrating is.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I think I woke up this morning and I felt a little brighter.
Brighter.
A little refreshed. So, I was pleased with it as well.
Good. Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad we were both happy.
Yeah.
What's your letter grade, though?
I'll give it an A.
Oh.
I'll go an A. I guess I'd want to see it in longer term, but you said there was a little bit left over, so you can try it again.
Yeah, going to be doing it again because there, like you said, there was enough for me to do it. Definitely one more time. Maybe even two more times.
Okay.
And I even, like, all the way down. It's yeah. Like,
the whole face.
The whole gamut.
But so longer term, it's probably going to be even better. But I have no issues with it overall. Like, it was easy, breezy.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
Not CoverGirl.
Not CoverGirl. Just no. Sephora.
Just Sephora.
But I like their mask. I think their mask line's nice overall.
Yeah. We've done a couple by them uh-huh. that we've liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good properties, yeah. And I enjoy that.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Did you have any social, personal things you wanted to talk about?
No. I guess the big news is still just election glory. Yes. And just exciting.
Two more months.
Yeah.
Just, we're not counting down.
The world's changing.
It's
love always wins. That's what I want. I just want unity, everyone just to be happy. So that'll be good. But other than that, just, you know. House projects, because that's always exciting.
Ongoing.
Forever and always.
I know.
Home ownership is a joy, as you know.
I'm finding out. Dude, I need to figure out what's going on with my freezer. Like, everything's cold and stuff, but it's not making ice.
Have you turned it off and turned it back on?
Yes.
Okay. Because that happened for my freezer, and it just needed a little reboot.
I mean, I... it off and immediately back on. I don't know if I should turn it off for like a day and then turn it back on like the next day or...
Yeah. I've also had it, I guess I don't know how yours is laid out, but sometimes it gets like too frozen and if there's too much ice on it, it'll stop working.
Well, so like when I first moved in, it was really frozen on like the inside and I took it out. I let it thaw mm-hmm. and like everything and I put it back in and it's just like the past couple of days, it's not making ice.
Yeah, I would say maybe you need to, like, clean it out. Maybe there's some ice stuck on it and it's just, like, not rotating or whatnot. Okay. That'd be my first guess.
Well, I'll give it a look when I get home, then.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yes, maybe in all my freezer experience.
Yes, you're basically a freezer expert. No, I actually, like... Googled it and there was like a video for troubleshooting and it was like, oh, check your water line. And I'm like, I don't even know where the fuck that's at.
Yeah, but sure, YouTube.
It's behind it.
YouTube's the best.
Yeah, you can YouTube anything.
For all the house projects.
Yeah. I also need to get my voice just sounded really weird just then. I felt it. But no, I need to get my TV mounted, my...
Mm-hmm.
I think that's my next like big goal is to get that done.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a good one. Because since your TV's on the floor.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, but you got your new furniture in?
Yeah, my couch. It's been so lovely to have something to sit on that has, like, back support.
Is it full of air?
Yeah. Don't have to reinflate it every morning and night.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's... It's been great. Next up's a coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to just buy one to buy one. I'm going to wait and get one that I actually like and want to have around for a long time.
That's good.
Yeah. Because... I saw one, like, the one that was, like, on display with the couch that I bought at the furniture store. And I was like, I mean, it goes, and it's cute, but I wasn't, like, in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm not going to pull the trigger.
Yeah. I think that's what I've been dealing with, too. I mean, obviously, I've been here much longer, like, in my house much longer than you have. You're getting the basics in. But
I'm a noob.
Now I'm just, like, trying to... I guess, get to the different furniture pieces that I didn't need. Mm-hmm. I just want.
Yes.
Like, I just need a nicer version, or, like, this one's broken, that one doesn't match, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I don't have it in me right now, to be honest. Between that and, like, all the Christmas shopping, which I have gotten pretty much every Christmas present already.
You've already started Christmas shopping?
What? Are you kidding? Yes. I always start really early, especially just, like, with COVID. You don't know how long. I don't know. Shipping delays. I've experienced a couple of items that I've ordered and it's taken like 2 months to get to me.
The only thing that I've had get delayed has been my couch.
Yeah, and that's pretty standard.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, that's, I haven't even begun to think about Christmas.
I'm telling you, this is my year. I'm going to start Christmas before Thanksgiving for the first time ever. 2020, you just need the happiness where you can get it.
True.
Yeah, so I'm going to start wrapping some of the presents. I'm not going to put my Christmas tree up. That's a little too far for me, but I might put up, like, some greenery.
Oh, I see. I feel like if you're going to wrap your presents, you should put your tree up so you have somewhere to put it.
Well, I know, but right now they're all unwrapped in my office.
For now. Oh, was there anything for me in there? I was in there earlier.
No.
Okay, good. But also, darn.
No, I have a pile of just, like, my family's presents.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you what it is, because some of them listen.
Yeah, I can't tell.
Because I talk to your family all the time.
Mm-hmm. Can't reveal my secrets.
Except Mom and Dad, guess what?
But I do have to say that I have bought more, like, sustainable, I'll call it good-for-the-world gifts for myself while I've been buying Christmas presents. Yeah, they have...
Self-care, dude.
Reusable, like, cotton pads. That I use for, like, my toner and my micellar water at night, so I don't have to use cotton balls, because that's bad for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been getting the tablets for your dishwasher, so you don't have to use plastic, and there's not microplastics in it, so I'm just really getting into it. Yeah.
You are. You're going to start hugging trees before I know it.
Hey, I love a good tree. Not quite on the hugging standard, but... I gaze at them fondly.
I'm going to come over one day and you're just going to be in the backyard hugging the magnolia tree.
I don't think so. That thing drops a lot of leaves. We're on...
Plus all of Ebby's pods.
Yeah, we're on interesting terms.
Interesting terms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a love-hate relationship with that tree. It's nice when it shades me. I hate it when it drops the 1 million leaves that are on it.
But it's so pretty when it blossoms.
Yeah, for like the 2 days. It has a short flower. And I don't love it.
I'm sorry.
But it's fine. It's pretty and not gonna get rid of it. Just, you know.
Gonna complain about it.
I'm gonna complain about it. I've never raked more leaves in my life than I have since we've been in this house. All my years combined.
It's good for you.
It is a workout.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate any excuse to be active. And, you know, feel like you're getting something done because you are. Yeah. Chores.
Yay!
Everyone's favorite thing.
I did all my chores almost all my chores this morning. Cleaned most of the house.
Oh. Wow. You've done a lot more than me.
I even vacuumed the couch because I said I wasn't going to let the dog get on it, but that lasted all of 24 hours.
I knew you'd break.
She, like, just came and, like, sat and, like, was trying to sit in my lap, and I was like, no, you don't get on the couch. And she gave me this look, and I was like, fine. Here, let me make space for you.
Oh.
But no, it's fine. We took a nap on the couch today.
Oh, a little cuddle sesh.
Yeah. It's a lot harder napping side by side on the couch than it was on the air mattress.
Yep. Yeah.
At one point, I was just like, my arm is, like, in a very awkward position, and it's falling asleep, and your harness is hurting me. I gotta move.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a different pillow and just, like, flopped and moved my head to the other end of the couch and let her be my baby.
Why don't you just be a foot warmer?
Yeah, she didn't care. She was just like, why are you moving? I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, you're disrupting me.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But that's that. That's going.
Progress.
I don't know, we had a rough walk this morning. Well, this afternoon, like, right before I came over.
Yeah.
When I walked out the side door, there was a woman walking her dog, and Minnie lost it.
She'll get there.
I know. I want her to be there already.
Yeah. Well, the training will start soon.
Oh, yeah. I start with, my trainer's name is Ken, and we start next week. And I'm really just hoping that he can whip this dog into shape.
Yeah, absolutely.
So... she's making progress. We've been working on sit, down, and stay past couple of days. One of my issues is she always, like, sometimes I'll do sit and stay,
mm-hmm.
but she always lays down after I do sit. So I'm like, no, I just want you to do sit.
Yeah. I feel like I remember Abby doing that. She was just like, oh, just, like, down to the ground? Like, you just want me to do that?
Well, you always make me do this next, so I'm just going to do it now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I want you to know the difference.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to get some advice from him on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a learning thing. I mean, even now, let's say I have, like, some chicken that I was going to give Evie, she will run through every
trick. Every trick she knows. Yeah. Oh, you want me to
dance?
Whatever
you want, yeah.
Yeah, here, look at me, I'm cute, give me it.
Sit, lay down, turn around. What do you want?
Which one?
Give me the chicken.
Tell me. Here's my paw, Mom. But...
I think that might be...
I was gonna say, I feel like we've been talking long enough.
Yeah, I feel like that might be all of our updates.
Yeah, I think so. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials. Like us on Facebook, at Mask Murder Podcast. Like our Facebook page. If you have any questions, concerns, show notes, show suggestions, email us at maskmurderpodcast@gmail.com. And that's all for this week. Take care of yourselves. God, I hate it.
You love it.
Sources for this week's episode include BBC.com, TheGuardian.com, IcelandReview.com, Influencer.com, ScienceDirect.com, Wikipedia.org, and the Netflix documentary Out of Thin Air.